This morning I'm going to share a few records on, well, we're going to go look through some of the miracles that Christ did. So I'm going to stick around the Gospels a little bit, and we're going to start, what did Julie Andrews say? He's going to start in the very beginning. So we're going to go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And all you wine lovers will love this little record here. And we're going to start in verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there.
Sorry.
You good?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. What are we going to do? Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. The governor of the feast was like the maitre d' of the ceremony. So I guess he was the one who was in control of everything, so they had to let him taste it. And they bear it, verse 8. And in verse 9 it says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew it. Now think about the servants that fill those water pots with water, and then what was about to happen. You know, who knows, you know, probably saying, well, what are we doing this for? I mean, come on. But Jesus Christ had other plans in mind. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, the servants knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, why are you giving me water? No. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of miracles. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested both his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So one of the things, I mean, this did was it helped the people at the wedding, you know, the bride and the bridegroom, because they needed wine at the wedding, but it also helped his people believe in him. And it says his glory, which could mean like his glory as it was very apparent, his honor, was that this guy was the real deal. This guy was something else. He was powerful. Now if we keep going to John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 46, it says, we're going to read 46 to 54. Are you girls having a pillow fight?
Trying.
Yeah. 46. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. That's not a good place to be. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. So here you got this guy, his son is at the point of death. Jesus Christ comes back into Capernaum
Cana
of Galilee. where he did his first miracle. So I'm sure there was a little memory there of, hey, this guy, you know, made water into wine. Let's see if he can heal my son. No Messenitan, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So again, this caused not only the son to get healed, but it caused people to believe on God's word and what Jesus Christ was trying to accomplish here. Let's go to John chapter 5. See, I'm going to go easy with you today. Staying right around
the neighborhood.
It's going to be a couple of little jaunts here and there, but John chapter 5, verse 1, we'll start. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I'd like to, you know, I'd like to be made whole. The impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So here it is, this guy, you know, he wants to get put in the pool because they believe that when you get put in the pool, the water's troubled, that you'll get healed. But everybody kept cutting in front of him because his deal was he couldn't walk. So Jesus Christ had the perfect solution for him. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered him and said, he that made me whole the same hour said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. He didn't care about the Sabbath day. All that guy wanted to do was get healed. And he believed what Jesus Christ told him to do. And he was delivered of his ailment. Pretty cool stuff. Guess where we're going to go now?
Six.
John chapter 6. Yeah. Guys are with it, man. John chapter 6. Oh, this is a great one. We'll start in verse 5. I always thought they should have put this together with the wine, because you'll see. John chapter 6, verse 5. And he said to prove them for... Well, here, let me give you a little background. Jesus Christ is teaching a multitude of people, right? And I guess I wanted to start in verse 5 anyway. So anyway, he's teaching a multitude of people. In verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I believe there was over 5,000 people here. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus Christ already knew what he was going to do to feed these people, because God already laid it on him, told him exactly what to do. But he wanted to just see what Philip was going to do. Philip, verse 7, answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And I would have probably said the same thing. What are they among, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? It's not going to feed 5,000 people. And Jesus said, verse 10, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, which would mean there were more. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So again, the benefits of Jesus Christ performing that miracle, doing what God, you know, showed him he could do, was that people got fed, they were blessed, and that more people believed in him. Actually, we're going to stay right there. We're going to go to verse 16. This is another wonderful thing that our wonderful Lord accomplished. In verse 16, it says, And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20, 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. So, I mean, this guy, Jesus Christ, he's like, he can do all these wonderful things because he had God's power with him and in him. And it's pretty cool. Another one is in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We will read, we'll start in verse 1 through 7. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they want to know why this guy was born blind. What the heck happened? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Doesn't matter how it happened, God's power is going to get manifested. I must work the works of him that sent me, verse 4, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus Christ was going to shed light on this poor guy that was born blind. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was an eye doctor, I'd be like, what the heck is this guy thinking? This guy's blind, he's going to rub dirt in his eyes. But then he said, verse 7, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. So God told him to do it, and Jesus Christ believed him, and the guy believed, and the guy got healed, because Jesus Christ did what God had told him to do. Now I'm going to throw you guys off a little. We're going to go to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we will start in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." See, even the devil knew who he was, the devil's spirit. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Because he had God's power. He believed that God was with him, and he had God's power, and you know, he had the authority to do it. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And the thing about this is, when we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, which says,
"If thou
shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So when we believe that, we got God's Spirit, and we have this same power that Jesus Christ did with all these miracles. It's pretty cool. In verse, let's go to verse 30 and 31. All right, so this is a little further now. But then verse 30, it says, "But Simon's wife, one of his apostles, wife's mother, lay sick of the fever, and Annan, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He goes from one to the other. That's these our Lord and Savior, that, you know, the great power he had. And he got to have someone, you know, cook him a snack or something too. And it says immediately she ministered unto them. Pretty wonderful stuff. Let's go to verse 40. Oh, this is another great one. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." We all know leprosy was the thing where, you know, your kind of skin fell off. You know, wasn't pretty. And if you had it, you had to be away from the city. You weren't allowed in the city. So this leper comes up, moved compassion, and put forth his hand, verse 41, and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So this leper tells him, you know, there was a whole law, legal thing that he had to do. When he got cleansed, he had to go show yourself, but he said, "I can't keep it in me anymore. I want to tell everybody." And then that word, it says where Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. That word touched means embraced him, which means he probably hugged him, which wasn't a thing to do to a leper. But Jesus Christ, he had other plans. So anyway, he got healed. Let's look at Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll start in 23. It says, Matthew 8, 23. And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into this, I'm not going to read all that. But anyway, but they were marveled. They're like, what is, who is this guy? The sea, the winds obey him. Devils obey him. He has great authority because he believed God. He was God's son. And that made me think of it, Psalm 23. You don't have to go there, but in verse 2, about the green pastures beside the still waters, just a place of rest. And this was Jesus Christ's life, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of dealing with people with ailments or devil spirits or anything, he was beside those still waters because he trusted in his Father. In Mark chapter 5, and we are going to start in verse 21. This is a wonderful record of, this is a double whammy here. Well, we'll just read it. Verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship, he loved to be in ships, these guys. They loved the ships. Much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus. I used to say that name so wrong. Jairus by name. I used to call him Jarius. I feel bad for that. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. What wonderful believing she had. And straightway, when she did that, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And then the disciples, his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Who didn't touch you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of that thy plague. What beautiful tenderness. Wow. So anyway, he still has to deal with Jairus. So here it is. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And Terry?
That word only means of all the things you could possibly think. Meanwhile, she's dead. What am I going to tell her mother? What am I going to tell whoever? The only thing he said, be not afraid, only believe. Don't think about anything else. Just only believe. That moves me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And look at the miracle he already saw with the woman.
Right.
And the adversary was right there to, you know, let him falter, let the father falter, and, you know, but be not afraid, only believe. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And then when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he got rid of all those laughing people. And he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And they charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So what a powerful record that is. Two wonderful healings, dealing with getting them to stay steadfast on what was about to happen, what God told them would happen. And they got healed. Wow. Wonderful. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 10. Oh, okay. And behold, there was a man. Oh, verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much better then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored like as the other. And I thought about last memory, I shared a record in Matthew 6 about the birds of the fowls of the air, and are we not much better than the lilies and all this stuff? And yeah, we're better than the fowls of the air and the lilies and the sheep too. So, and God wants the best for us. And John, go back to John. John chapter 21. Actually, no, you know what? John 14, I'm sorry.
I know.
What did I do? I didn't.
You're testing me.
John 14, sorry. And this is our Lord talking to again. In 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these because he shall do, because I go unto my Father. So all of these wonderful records that we've seen, we can do the same thing and more. And in chapter 21, because we have that Christ in us. In John 21, and in verse 25, I love this verse. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. And we just, you know, scraped the tip of the iceberg. The which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So that's a little bit of what Christ has done, some of the things we can do too, if we just keep looking to God and believe what he says. So, amen.
Amen.